Livewire with Jeff Dorset.
So it's a great pleasure to bring on a gentleman from Five. We're going to be talking to Scott Robinson, the only UK act to reach the top 10 with their first 11 singles. And that is not too shabby, Scott Robinson.
It's not too shabby, is it? It's not too shabby at all.
No, and 20 million albums along the way.
I didn't know that stat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I will be using that one. Thank you very much. I'm using that one worldwide now.
Good stuff.
It's very good.
Lovely. Now, Scott, you're a young man, but what were your early inspirations when you were growing up as a teenager? Who were your inspirations? And you thought to yourself, that's why Scott wants to be in the music industry.
Do you know what? I've got such a eclectic listening taste of music. So I used to think I was Nick Carter from Backstreet Boys. So he was the one in the Backstreet Boys that I think I would have been if I was in the Backstreet Boys. But so that was the boy band influence. But I used to listen to Richard Marx. I used to absolutely adore Richard Marx's voice, and at a point it sort of imitate it. So I had sort of a similar sort of husky sort of tone. So I used to love that. I used to love listening to Marty Pello, Wet Wet Wet. Even Glenn Medeiros was, I used to love, listening to Glenn Medeiros and stuff like that. Peter Cetera, Phil Collins. So I've always been a fan of a real song. Do you know what I mean? A song where you can really listen to the lyrics and really sort of give it a good sing, So from the boy band thing, it would have been the Backstreet Boys in my bedroom with a hairbrush, thinking I was Nick Carter. definitely. Phil Collins was one of my big sort of reasons why I wanted to be a singer as well.
Super. And what about the first gig? Can you remember the first gig you did as Five?
I can. We were lucky enough to be invited to perform on the Radio 1 Roadshow. Pretty sure it was Dave Pearce at the time. And we travelled to Weston-super-Mare. And I remember, so my now wife, who I've been with, since the start of the band, she travelled in the back of my uncle's rent-a-kill van, and with a few of our friends, and they travelled up or down to Weston-super-Mare, where we performed one song. We only had our debut single at the time, Slam Dunk the Funk, and we were only meant to be the support act. So it was only meant to, we weren't meant to go live on the radio. We were meant to be before the radio, just as the warm up. As I say, we only had the one song, but the crowd went crazy for us. And I remember pulling up, and I remember seeing Peter Andre performing, and thinking, wow, God, look, the crowd love him. And obviously he was doing so well at the time. And then after he come off, all the fans were going crazy, and he was signing autographs. And I remember thinking, maybe one day that could be us, And when it turned out to be that day. So, I got me dream pretty quickly, because we done the performance, the crowd absolutely loved us. And Dave Pearce said, this has never happened before ever. The crowd liked you that much, we're going to put you on again.
Yes.
And you're going to go live on the radio. And I think from that moment, really, it was like really cemented us like, oh, wow, this is going to actually work out quite well for us. We'd never, we didn't have to do the school tours like other bands before us. We were kind of catapulted from that moment into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Our song was being played on BBC Radio 1, which is a pinch yourself moment in itself. And then we come off stage and we were signing autographs. And I didn't even have an autograph. I remember Sean saying to me, what do I write? And I said, just write your name. there'll be, this is the first sort of autographs I signed. They won't be what turned into what my autograph is. It'll be just me. I think I would have just wrote Scott.
Yes.
But I remember thinking, wow, this is like, life chat going to change forever this day,
Yes.
And it did. I mean, our next performance was at the Smash Hits Poll Winners Party, where we beat the other acts to be crowned the champions of that competition. So we were playing, our second performances, we were playing arenas.
Yeah. Incredible. Lovely.
You know, so, and that just wasn't heard of back in the day. You know, as I said, people would have done school tours and, like, you know, gone up and down the country performing in school halls, yeah. You know, to get a fan base to follow you, you know?
Yeah.
But we just sort of, like, you know, sidetracked all of that and just went straight for the jugular, really.
Yeah. And but about fan mania, you touched on it there, Scott. I mean, over the years, we've experienced in the UK incredible fan mania. I was fortunate enough to see the Beatles twice. I remember stories about Bay City Rollers. I remember talking to the guys from Sweet who got trapped in a car and the girls were peeling the roof off their Mini in front of them. I mean, you know, the scary, but the most scary one I had was talking to Mutt Willis of Busted. He said he came back from a gig in Cardiff, went to the Holiday Inn, swiped his card to get in the room, and there was a woman standing in the center of his room. And his first question was, how on earth did you get in there?
You know what? The things like that have happened through the years. I remember Sean once had to phone down security because he went in his room and there was someone in there and he had to get them out. I can't remember where we were. Like, I think it's in like Rio or somewhere like that, or Brazil, somewhere where the fans were just, it was just crazy. Like, there's, my dad actually sent me some footage. I think he found it on YouTube. We're on like an open top bus thing. And they're rocking the bus, and we can't get off.
No,
and even when we do get off, they are clawing at us, and they're trying to like rip our clothes off and trying to. I mean, I remember once in Milan, my shoe got stolen, and it was a brand new like Nike Air shoe or whatever back in the day, which I would have been given it by the record label, whatever, the stylist. And when I went on stage that night, before I sung one of our songs, one of the songs that I sung the main part on Until the Time Is Through, I went on with one trainer. I went on and I said, right, I said, I think you're probably here.
Yeah.
Whoever stole my trainer, I want it back.
Yes.
I want it back now,
yes.
Or I'm not singing until the time is through.
Yes.
And this sounds like a made-up story, but it's true. From the very, very back of this crowded arena, a shoe started to like be taken by the hands,
yes,
to the front, and the spotlight found it, and it just made its way. This single trainer just made its way all the way to the front of the stage. I took it, I put it on, I went, here's Until the Time Is Through, and the show started.
Oh, great, love that story.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like moments were.
Yeah.
You know, we're incredible. Even America, I mean, you've just mentioned the Bay City Rollers.
Yes.
I've got a stat of my own. So we were the first band since the Bay City Rollers to have success in America, the first English band since the Bay City Rollers to have any success in America. So even the likes of Take That had tried and not quite done it.
Yeah.
And we could have completely cracked America if we would have stayed there for longer. But, you know, I've always hated traveling. I just genuinely don't like leaving my obviously now my kids and my wife, but even back in the day it was the same girl that I'm with now, my wife, you know, didn't really like leaving her. She's always the constant in my life that's kept me grounded and kept me sane, you know. So, you know, I think a lot of the reason would be because we just, for what, loads of reasons, we just couldn't
spend the time,
you know, spend the time there, you know.
No, I know, and I'll tell you what, Scott, it's a big decision for artists. Cliff Richard once said, I'm not going to go to America because I'm going to concentrate on the UK and Europe.
Yeah.
And because when you go there, as you know, coast to coast, you're doing like 3,000 radio stations, you know, you're just absolutely pulled apart, and you can devote it. I mean, there are acts that made it bigger in America to start with, Coldplay being one, Police being another, ELO being another, Dire Straits being them, who first got success in America and then brought it back to the UK. Right, now, Scott, for you, true or false, is it true or false that Max Martin's Baby Hit Me One More Time, Simon Cowell wanted it for you?
True.
Right. Thank you very much. Wanted that one. Now, how was it at the 2000 Brit Awards to go out there with Queen on We Will Rock You and making number one in the UK?
That's for me. That's the moment, really. That's the pinch yourself moment. And you know what? I probably truly couldn't appreciate it at the time because of, you know, so much going on and so tired and, you know, sort of work overworked and stuff, you know. But to look back at that and to remember that we, you know, we took it to number one when Queen had only ever taken it to number two, for Brian May to say that he prefers his guitar solo on our song because it's faster, it's a moment in itself to perform with Queen, not only, you know, at the Brits, you know, at Party in the Park. I got to sing Tie Your Mama Down with Brian May at the front with me, Rich and Brian rocking out to Tie Your Mama Down. Yeah. These are all moments that, you know, I can tell my, you know, that I tell my kids and I'll tell my grandkids and, you know, I'll tell anyone that wants to listen in a pub, you know. I mean, what an amazing achievement, you know. Even now with... I hear people do performances of We Will Rock You on the stage or on the telly.
Yeah.
And even though, so our version was slightly faster in tempo.
Yeah.
But what people do is they sing what they think is the Queen version.
Yes.
But the Five version's got these answer backs in the chorus. Yeah. Gonna rock you, baby. And they do that. So that means that somewhere in their psyche and subliminally, they don't think they're singing the Five version because they're singing the slowed down Queen version. But the fact that they're putting their answer backs in, there's only one band that they're nodding their head to, and that's Five.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. It was great as well. And I feel very close to Queen, and the reason being is Spike Edney is a very good friend of mine. He's the keyboard player. I've been with him since 1984. And,
nice.
And it got us the opportunity to be in the green room twice with him in Vegas, particularly at the T-Mobile. I mean, it comes to something. This is an ego boost here, Scott, when, you know, 33,100 people are at the T-Mobile. There's 12 in the green room, and we're two of them. I mean,
brilliant! That's amazing.
It's doing all of that and great stuff. And my wife always says, "Can she have Adam Lambert's cast-off clothes when he gets rid of them?"
Perfect.
Now, you've done a lot of tours across there. What's your favourite country for touring? Because I've got you written down. I mean, they're mad in South America. I mean, absolutely mad. I see all the things going on. Australia, great as well. But what's been your favourite country to go to apart from the UK, Scott?
As you said, the crowds in South America are always absolutely unbelievable. But yeah, the Aussie crowds are really good. We're over in Australia next week. We go over there, we start our tour over there on the 5th. We're doing nine dates and we've sold all that out. So we're really chuffed with that.
Yeah.
They're just great, great crowds. And to still be coming out after all these years, you know, there's three members of a band called Five and they, you know, they are absolutely loving what we do. So, and we love giving them the hits and, you know, we enjoy being there performing. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, in December, of course, you're going to do this big disco arena show at Wembley, and you're going to be in Birmingham, and you're going to be in Glasgow in December. Great lineup there. I mean, you mentioned Peter Andre a little bit earlier. Snap is on there, so we're going to have The Power. Robin S with Show Me Love and Bass Hunter and loads of others as well. Ultranati's there. So, you know, you're going to really enjoy yourself there. I can imagine that's going to be a really good Best Disco Arena show, Scott.
Yeah, do you know what? It's you know, the multi-lineup shows, they're always so good for, you know, for nostalgia and for a night out, you know, for the punters that are coming down to get the tickets. You know, it really is a great show because, you know, okay, we're not on stage for you know, long like we are when it's our own tour, but we're still giving you some amazing songs, you know, four or five of the biggest songs that we've done. You know, and as you say, the likes of the lineup are just incredible. So if you're a true you know, 90s fan, then you've got a real feast there.
Absolutely. Playing in London, at Wembley, in Birmingham and in Glasgow. Right, okay, Scott, you're my guest. Two things lined up. Would you like Feel the Feeling or Keep on Moving? Your call, sir.
Oh, I will have Keep on Moving, please.
Okay. Stay on the line. Scott, it's great talking to you and great success with Five. What a band. Love the boys there. So give my best to Richie and Sean. And it's been great talking to you, Scott. Check these boys out. December, biggest disco arena show with all the gang there. Five headlining it there. We're going. We keep on moving.
and let things get in my way.
When the rainy days are dying, gotta keep on trying. All the bees and birds are flying. Never let go, gotta hold on in. Non stop till the break of dawn in. Keep moving, don't stop rocking.
Get on up.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.